Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along. It's the Friday morning episode. IFS subscribers on Patreon get this one early on Thursday evening. How about that? Before we go into other things, Sam, there was an email I saw which I particularly liked. Which is entitled Dad Power Play.
Which covers at least
a couple of our subjects of interest. This is from Stuart Thompson. He just says, I was listening to an old Life Logistics where you suggest paying for a meal to get a girlfriend's dad on side during a holiday. My pal did this a few years ago. Have you read this email already?
Yeah, I think I might know it. Yeah, go on.
My pal did this a few years ago, put down 100 euros, dinner, and a generous tip to make a good impression.
Yeah.
The dad put his index and middle finger down on the money, slid it back to my pal, stared him in his eyes and said in a rough Ayrshire accent, "Don't try and undermine me in front of my wife, you deluded cunt."
Whoa.
Incredible.
Fucking hell. Was this on holiday or just in a normal...
On holiday.
Oh.
The next line in the email, the last line, says 10 more days of the most awkward holiday ever followed.
Fucking hell. That is enormous. That's a colossal story.
It is, isn't it?
Fucking hell. What about the dad? I mean, look, the lad who's done it, I don't know how old he was, but... You know, it could have gone either way. I don't think it would. I can't sit here and go, that was a mistake, right?
Yeah.
Because he didn't know the dad was going to respond like that, right?
No.
I would say that if you're going to do it, looking at a situation like that, it's still, you shouldn't, if there's any young lads listening, right? You just go, I think it's always good. You can do it in a way that's humble. If you fucking try and large it and you whack out your credit card and chuck it in the middle, right, then you've got a high chance of fucking off a dad, right? But if you say like this, listen, I'm not trying to be flash. I'm really appreciative that you've let me come on holiday. I would love to pay for this meal.
Exactly. Yeah.
It would mean a lot to me if I could just pay for this meal. It's just my way. It's just a gesture. And then you even make a joke and go, note that I've chosen the evening where some people haven't had starters, right? Because then you're self-deprecating. But if you, I don't know how this kid went about it, but if you just get out a fucking wad of cash, right? a wad of drachma. I'm really into recently just referencing old European currencies.
Drachma, pesetas.
It's funny, yeah. Get out your fucking pesetas, right?
Deutschmarks.
And whack your fucking... Don't you whack your fucking pesetas out on my table, you wee cunt. Right, you're going to... There's a risk. And even then, if you do it, not everyone's going to react that way. But fuck me. That is a big... The dad, he's called him a deluded cunt. And
I mean, you're completely right. Go on.
He's used his index and middle finger. I can picture that. It was nicely written email. Because you just say, that's threatening to me in a very subtle way. Do you know what I mean?
Like you say, there's got to be a bit of to and fro. You've got to kind of just test the waters.
Test the waters.
And see, you know, let me pay for this one.
Yeah, before you get the exactly.
Money. It sounds like he's just, the bills come, he's pulled out 100 and just put them down.
He might have licked his thumb and started peeling off some notes from a larger wedge. That he's just withdrawn at the fucking Bureau de Change at the fucking Athens airport, mate.
And then reclined back in his seat with his hands behind his head.
That's fucking nothing to me. And then
that's
he's fine.
Taken care of.
Hey, and bring us a fucking round of fucking Ouzos as well. And yeah. I tell you what, get us a couple of fucking cigars while you're at it. I like one with this 100 fucking drachma note.
Have you got any fireworks? Set them off.
Yeah, it's tricky. It is tricky. It's tricky.
Well, yeah, that's superb.
It's nice excellent to be generous, there. But there's a fine line between generosity and larging yeah. it. And so, and that's, it's a tonal thing, isn't it, Andy? Like so much in life.
Completely. Completely. Mm. We're all about the tone on this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was this other one? We got a live hero fantasy, which was.
Oh, that's nice, yeah.
Sent to us from Richard, age 35 and 8/12. I've just caught myself mid-hero fantasy, if you're interested. We're always interested in hero fantasy. I'm on a bus home and a car from the opposite side of the road swerved in front of us. This then opened my mind to seeing the car coming towards us with no chance of avoiding a crash, with me running to the front of the bus to pull the attractive woman sitting... not sure about this.
Oh no, he's not
to pull
weird.
The attractive woman sitting behind the driver from the crash. She kisses me in front of the bus crowd, and I'm a legend for it.
Yeah, it's a good. It's a good hero fantasy. It's not the best hero fantasy.
It's a hero fantasy.
It's a hero
audience,
fantasy.
It's a good one.
See, I like a certain amount in my own hero fantasies, which I indulge in not daily, but I'd have at least one a week. Right? I usually. I have to have a small amount of realism, right? I'm not full yeah. Ken Loach, right? Yeah. But I have to have a small amount of realism in order to make it more thrilling. So in my version, forgive me for rewriting that hero fantasy, she wouldn't have kissed me there and then. It would have, right. But it would have been the start of something.
Yeah.
That would have evolved maybe days, who knows, maybe hours later after the event.
I don't know. I don't know whether the attractive woman sitting behind the driver was actually on the bus at the time. If she was, then he's just using that as a bit of a fantasy about copping off with a woman who's on the bus. If she wasn't there, and he's imagined an attractive woman in this hero fantasy, it's still a bit.
Yeah, hero fantasies don't always have to end with you getting the girl. I've had hero fantasies where I've saved a group of friends using kung fu and the whole thing. And I don't want to brag about it afterwards because that's not my style. But unfortunately for me, a modest and private person, it has been caught on CCTV and the news shows got hold of it and it has been played out on national news repeatedly.
Yeah. Hero fantasy can end any kind of way. It could end in you being gifted a controlling share in a local quarry.
Yeah.
That would be a brilliant denouement.
Do you know what the ultimate, though, I think, the real classic of the genre hero fantasy ending is this, for me, my best ones ever since childhood and still to this day end with there's a huge ceremony, right, in a massive auditorium. I walk to
amphitheater.
My name is called out in an amphitheatre. I walk up onto stage, right?
Yeah.
Fucking Princess Leia's there, and she's got a gold medallion on a red ribbon, right?
Yeah.
She winks at me, right? Mm-hmm. I bow my head. She puts it round my neck. Fucking Chewbacca, CPPO, yeah. and RTDT. Yeah. They're all fucking there, and they're clapping. Right. Well, obviously RTDT's not clapping. He can't, but he's rocking from side to side, and everyone just goes fucking bananas, right?
Oh,
and that's
man.
It. Basically, my main hero fantasy denouement is the final scene of Star Wars: A New Hope.
Princess Leia leans over, puts the medal on you, whispers in your ear, "I'll see you later on." And get this, I've had it off of my brother, so I'm into some weird shit.
I'm kinky as fuck. Yeah, that's how all the best hero fantasies end, with the medal ceremony.
Get in touch. Don't tell us your hero fantasy itself. Tell us your dream ending to a hero fantasy.
Dream ending to a hero fantasy. Yeah. Oh, talking of fantasies, do you remember a young chap who I shouldn't name him, probably have in the past, but if I do, I regret it. But there's a young chap who goes to school with my nephew. Who has the catchphrase, and then I did a backflip.
Do I ever remember? Yes.
Well, I haven't had any news from him in a while, but right. got a text in the week from my sister-in-law to the group thing saying, got news, he was missing from school for 10 days, right?
Oof.
Mm-hmm. When he came back, he was asked, where were you? He said, I was ill.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, what was the matter? And he said, I had a heart attack. This kid's eight. No, nine.
In what? He had a heart attack.
And yeah. he had open heart surgery, which cost £100,000.
Whoa.
In the 10 days since he's been gone. I don't know whether he's... I mean, I'm assuming his dad's a millionaire.
Must be.
But, yeah. All I said was, did he do a backflip after the surgery?
Is he still able to do a backflip after the result of it?
Is he still backflip able? It's amazing, though, isn't it? Nine-year-old schoolboy had a heart attack and had £100,000 worth of open heart surgery and then was back at his desk in 10 days.
10 days.
Fucking what a story.
Does he have any scars or anything that you show off to the kids?
They haven't seen. I'll ask more when I see my nephew. What I like is that my nephew must be really mature for his age because... he nods and accepts it all. He doesn't do that thing that I would have done when I was out. He's going, shut up, that bollocks, right?
Yeah.
And neither does he fall for it. He just goes, oh, yeah. He does what I would do and asks more questions to sort of get more lies out of him. And then he just smiles, accepts it, and then he goes home and tells his mum and dad. And then they text me.
We put it on a podcast.
Yeah, amazing. What a world.
Don't give him the validation he craves. That's really good. There was another one. Rhinestone Cowboy moment.
Oh yeah.
This is from Asa Wyatt, age 40 and 1 month. And it's a broken biscuit box. The first picture he sent's incredibly small and I can't really make it out.
Yeah, I saw this one. I said that picture's too small for me. Too small.
It's a broken biscuit assortment, 1,300 grams. That's a lot of broken biscuits. And I don't know exactly where you get them from, but he just sent in a picture of some that he received. And they're all perfectly intact, a wide assortment of biscuit. Not a single broken biscuit, he said. Hit the jackpot with chocolate malted milks as well. So maybe they don't normally put them in. I actually gathered my family around. They weren't as impressed as me, but I thought worthy of bragging on social media. And it was a Facebook post that he put. But yeah, it looks like an excellent range of biscuits.
I was actually going to send you, talking of sweet treats, my mum brought, it was my birthday yesterday, and my mum brought
Happy
me
Happy birthday.
Thanks, mate. He brought me, by the way, listeners, Andy's already wished me happy birthday by text.
Yeah, that was just performative for the podcast.
Yeah, it was, but it's nice either way. I'll take it. I'm just going to send you a picture of the cake. My mum made a cake. And there's about,
nice.
I'd say there's over half of it left. So I overindulged on my birthday, as, you know, of course you should do. But then the next day...
You should
day
always take the day off for your birthday.
Yeah, I did that. I had a really nice day. Went up the park to look at some flowers.
Good.
Any particular kind? Yeah, I've forgotten what they're called now. But up at Richmond Park, which is quite near where I live... there's a part of it, like a fenced off part of it. It's an enormous park, and it's called Isabella Plantation, right?
Right.
And it's fenced off, but you know, it's free to go into. And every year at springtime, you can go when it's in bloom, and it's been planted in. It's quite wild, but it's got the most incredible array of vividly colourful flowers that certainly I've ever seen up close. And it's really worth a trip. I'm trying to remember what the names of the flowers are. I nearly said chrysanthemums, but I think that's just the name of a flower that I wanted to say.
The very elaborate name of flowers, yeah. It's not important, but as long as they were nice.
No, but people who are into flowers... They'll like to hear the name of it.
What percentage of our listenership you think are heavily into flowers?
I don't know. We should do some questions. We should send out more questionnaires because then we can give more data to our advertisers.
Yeah,
there's a lot of bluebells.
Just tweet us on Twitter.
It's azaleas,
if you are
mate.
Heavily into flowers, just tweet us on Twitter and just say, I am heavily into flowers. That's all you need to say.
They're azaleas. There are bluebells, which obviously are quite common this time of year. What else is there? Yeah, I think azaleas is the main thing. You're looking at a lot of pinks, purples, fuchsias, those kind of colours.
Lovely.
Anyway, it's well worth a trip if you're anywhere near this part of the world. And I decided to make it my little day out trip. I went up there with my good wife and the dog, and that was nice. Anyway, in the afternoon, I had a cake, and it was so up your street, mate. I'm going to send it to you, in fact, now. It's a really quality, good quality cake. It was pretty simple, but the amount of cream in it, oh my God. I'll send it to you in its current state, and we'll get your live reaction. Okay. I've sent it to you now. That is how it is at the moment. It's sitting on the
Sam
side.
Sam Delaney, I sent a photo, message alert.
This is live cake reaction.
Oh, look at that.
Look at the amount of cream, mate.
Well, that's a big fucking chunk of cream, and that is with a layer of jam underneath it.
Yeah, raspberry jam. Just a plain Victoria sponge with a dusting of icing sugar on top. Nothing too fancy.
Dusting on there. Too.
Although she does wrap it in the same claret and blue ribbons every year, which I think is a nice touch.
Lovely
so
stuff.
That was good.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Jalapeño.
But I tell you what I did when I got in from looking at the flowers. I watched a film that we've had on DVD for a while, and I thought, here's the perfect opportunity, because my kids didn't want to watch it. So me and my good wife watched a film called Soul Power. Now, you'll be... It's a documentary, right? You'll be familiar with the classic boxing documentary When We Were Kings, right?
Yeah.
Which is brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So When We Were Kings is about the rumble in the jungle in Zaire in 1974 when Ali fought Foreman. And about, it must be about 25 years ago now, they released a cinematic release of a fantastic documentary about the whole event, right? And it was wonderful and won all sorts of awards. But quite a number of years later, they released a sort of almost like a sister film called Soul Power, because... At the same time, it was Don King, obviously, who set up the rumble in the jungle. And there were really good reasons behind it as well, because they thought, hang on a minute, we are, you know, Africa isn't getting a fucking looking on anything from the sport or entertainment industry, right? And it was a black promoter and 2 black fighters, and they wanted to, you know, get a bit of love and a bit of money and a bit of attention and awareness over to Africa. And that was, I think, really the spirit of the rumble in the jungle. So alongside it, some bright sparks also set up a huge music festival for the same weekend of the fight. And it was a combination of the biggest US stars, right? Headliner James Brown and some of the greatest African musical stars of the time as well, right?
It's briefly shown in When We Were Kings, aren't it?
Yes, there are bits of James Brown in When We Were Kings. Well, this is an amazing film. It is amazing. The music, obviously, is fantastic, right? You see, but there are great sundry characters as well, like people who aren't famous, but are just like the people who work on the show behind the scenes, producers, just the people who are rigging up the lights and stuff like that. There's an awful stiff Lampard who is British, right? And he's the representative. He's the representative of the investors. Right. So there's obviously some sort of merchant bank or some sort of fucking investor, right, who's put a load of money. Yeah. And the people who are actually setting it up and promoting it are a bunch of like sort of New York hippies, right, who are like really funny and good guys, right? But they've got this fucking ball-ache guy, right, who's over there in a suit, in a really like uncomfortable-looking suit. And he's British, and he looks like someone who... Do you remember those guys in The Rise and Fall of Reginald Perrin, the ones who go, great, super...
Yeah.
Right. He looks like one of them. But he's more of a cunt than them. And he's just on the case. And this thing is like, obviously, as you'd expect, it's a load of music industry people throwing together a fucking rock festival, music festival in Zaire in 1974. They're off their tits and all the rest of it. And there's this one guy strutting around going, well, where the bloody hell are these lights we've been waiting for? This is completely unacceptable. And they were supposed to be here days ago. Oh, I'm not going to... I'm afraid the investors are not going to be happy about this. I'm going to have to tell them about it. So that's a little subtext to it. But there's a million and one great bits, a million and one great characters, not least Ali and obviously James Brown, who are two of the most brilliant men of all time, but also two of the maddest men of all time. And there are several scenes with both of them. And this is very fly-on-the-wall stuff as well. So it's a real privilege. It's not like you're watching Michael Parkinson. You're just seeing like fucking Ali and James Brown hanging about with each other, like in a caff, waiting for like fucking everything to get going. But there's this one scene, right? Because Bill Withers is there as well, right? And there's this one scene the day after they've all turned up. They all turn up on loads of them turn up on the same plane. And they all got, like sort of can't believe they're there. They're just having such a laugh. Most of them have never even been to like Africa before. And there's this scene the next morning. There's press everywhere, Western media and, of course, African media, all there filming, taking photos the whole time. They can't believe it's happening. And they're sat outside this fucking cafe, right? And around this table, and I mean a scruffy cafe, plastic table, right?
Mm.
Around this table are Muhammad Ali... Bill Withers, Don King, right, and some other bloke who I don't know the identity of, right, who's having a sort of a weird kind of argument with Muhammad Ali, right, on some quite deep shit about whether black men are truly free or not, right? And Muhammad Ali's saying they're not. But this is not staged. This isn't like a chat show. This is like the camera is back and you're sort of just like listening in and watching on something that's just happened. They're kind of unaware of the cameras. And Ali's getting the ump with this bloke. And this bloke's sort of winding him up. But it's sort of all good-natured. But the funny thing about it is you're sitting there and you're thinking, fucking hell. Don King, who's a man who's always got his eyes on the main chance anyway, is just sitting there like in all his Don King get up, just with a massive grin on his face, looking delighted that this is all happening. But in the middle of them all, right, is Bill Withers, who's sat there, right? He's gigantic, Bill Withers, right? And he's got no shirt on, right? This is the morning. And he's sat squished on this table between Muhammad Ali and Don King and this other guy. And this sort of deep cultural political debate's going on. And he's sat there, right, bare-chested with a big gold chain on, just fucking devouring a steak for breakfast that someone's just served him. And he's just stubbing his face. And he has got genuinely no fucking interest whatsoever on what they're talking about or what's going on around him. He's not getting involved at all. Ali a couple of times tries to involve him and he's just like, don't bring me into it. I'm eating my fucking steak.
You all right there, Bill? All right. Lovely day.
Oh, am I? Good bit of fucking steak, this. Have you had this? Hey, Mohammed, have you had this steak? Fucking do yourself a favour. It's like that. It's so you can't believe what you're watching at times. It's fucking extraordinary. And I can't believe it's sort of almost not more famous, but everything about it is brilliant. And there's mad bits as well, like fucking Sister Sledge, but when they're really young, backstage, just practicing, right, practicing their dancing, practicing their routine, yeah, backstage in a scruffy little room. BB King's there. It's just fucking hilarious. And it's a great film, and it's well worth a thorough watch-up. And I'm not sure if it's streaming. We've got it on DVD.
I've just had a look on the excellent Just Watch website, which tells you where everything is. And it's not streaming anywhere, but it's on eBay on DVD for £4. So I'm gonna get that.
It's a fucking great cover as well, isn't it? If you're looking at the DVD,
it's brilliant. Yeah, James Brown at the microphone there. It tells you who's in it.
Yeah,
Bill Withers, Miri Makeba, Spinners, BB King, Muhammad Ali, James Brown, and the JBs.
Yeah. It's absolutely great. It opens just with James Brown. I mean, we talk a lot about All Right Cunt moments, right? But you'll never see the king of All Right Cunts of all time is James Brown. James Brown headlines a concert. Of course, most of this film is not the concert itself, although you do get a lot of it at the end.
Right.
Most of it's like the build-up. James Brown just fucking... I mean, when he comes on stage wearing like a fucking cat suit, right, with no sort of chest. You can probably see it in the picture here. And a sort of a dog collar that says JB
on it. He's got a dog collar on, yeah.
Yeah, that has his initials on.
Which I think is sewn into his jacket. It's part of the jacket, I think.
Yeah.
He puts the jacket on, then attaches the collar on his neck and clips it shut.
What's weird is he doesn't look... I don't know how old he is, but he doesn't look that athletic. But he comes out and he just fucking... The JBs are there playing... And he just comes out and he just leaps in the air, does the splits, bounces straight up, spins about 20 times, does the splits again, stands back up again, and then just fucking launches into singing Soul Power.
Fucking great.
Unbelievable scenes.
Love it.
Love it. One of the best things I've seen in ages. So that's my recommendation of the week.
Very good. Also, music documentaries. Don't know if you saw the Pet Shop Boys documentary on BBC One last night. It was very, very excellent.
Yeah, I didn't see it. Was it Yentob?
It was Yentob, but Yentob was very much in the background.
Yeah, good.
I mean, Neil Tennant and Chris Lowe got plenty to say.
Right.
Yentob didn't really need to interject. There was one point where he was backstage, Yentob, and he came across a box which had the words Neil's hat written on it. And he sneakily opened the box and had a look inside at the hat and then did a little glance to camera like, ooh, there's a hat in there.
Ooh. Oh, see, and there's actually pairs, a real hat in it.
Yeah, that's right. But it's really good. And it proves that Chris Lowe is one of the funniest men in pop, even though he hardly ever speaks.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard him speak.
He did lots of talking on this. 90 minutes, really good on iPlayer. That's my recommendation of the week.
Did you listen to him on the Word in Your Ear podcast, Neil Tennant, with Reliving Old Days with
that was great
Hepworth and Ellen.
Hepworth and Ellen, because they'd worked together on Smash Hits in like 83, 84.
Yeah.
And it was just as if they'd just gone back.
That's great.
As if they were having a works reunion. Like, Neil Tennant's been a huge pop star since 1985, almost 40 years.
Yeah.
But he's still just so down to earth and just could still remember like little fine details about things they did and places they used to eat when they were working there.
Oh,
it was as if they just...
I'm going to listen to that today, because I think, for me, I mean, you know, obviously I love the Pet Shop Boys, but just for the fucking... Smash Hits nostalgia.
Smash Hits crack.
Yeah.
Bloody it was really
brilliant.
Good. So, there's that
going on. Yeah.
There was a thing on the I saw online today about a kid, which I'm sure this has been covered before, or people have sent us a link to this ongoing project, but it's a teen who has spent 6 years digging an underground home in his garden after a fight with his parents.
Yeah.
Andres Cantor. He's now in his early 20s, but he's created an underground cave complete with a living room area and a bedroom, and he's been working on it like I've said ever since he's 14, since he had an argument with his parents, and he's just gone, fuck this,
I'm digging myself underground.
Got a spoon and started digging.
Yeah, get the dessert spoon out.
A few years ago, his friend Andrew brought round a pneumatic drill, and they spend up to 14 hours a week digging almost 10 feet into the earth. This is in La Romana in Spain. And he estimates the project has cost him a grand total of £43.
Yeah, now.
It's got two rooms, a heating system, Wi-Fi, and a music system. And there you go. You can live the dream. Anything is possible. So digging win there.
Yeah, digging wins, digging fantasies. If you've ever had a digging fantasy, let's combine
it
all.
Yeah, it's been nice. We've covered a few of the recurring themes in this one. It's been good.
Yeah, we have. That's nice, isn't it?
We need to do some predicting as well, though.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. Are you ready?
I am ready.
We'll begin with Wolves versus Arsenal.
Wolves versus Arsenal. Fucking hell, Arsenal having a wobble, aren't they? But I reckon that they'll get through this, but narrowly. I think it'll be 1-0 Arsenal.
Okay. I think they will win it 2-1. Aston Villa versus Bournemouth. Aston Villa will win this 1-0.
I'll say 2-0 to Aston Villa.
I've just realised I've predicted the same as Results Bot, and I shouldn't really be doing that if I want to try and catch Results Bot, but never mind. Crystal Palace versus West Ham United.
2-2.
I will go for... Crystal Palace doing all right at the minute. I think they'll win this 2-0.
They just beat Liverpool.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, they'll probably beat us.
Sunderland versus Millwall.
Oh, my goodness. Sunderland, yeah. Millwall.
Yeah, I'll go first on this. I think 1-1.
What did Sunderland do last week in the end?
We won at West Bromwich Albion.
I'm going to say 1-1 as well.
Okay. There's no Newcastle match because there's two FA Cup semi-finals this weekend. Shall we predict them instead of...
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've got Manchester City versus Chelsea, which is on Saturday. What do you reckon?
Manchester City versus Chelsea. I think this will be 3-1 to Manchester City.
Ooh, this is on 90 minutes, yeah? I think it will be... I'll go 4-1 Manchester City.
Wow. I like to see the Chelsea players arguing over who took a penalty the other night. Did you see that?
Wasn't that fun?
They had a little fight with each other, which is fun.
Fucking hell. Unbelievable. Well, they were like 4-0 up or something at the time, weren't they?
Yeah, it sort of revealed quite a lot about their struggles, didn't it?
It did, yeah. Coventry versus Man United's the other one. I think Manchester United will win that 2-0.
I think that Coventry are going to win this 2-1. Wow. Come on, the Sky Blues.
Get in there.
Come on, Cov.
What about that? All right, then.
It's at Wembley, isn't it? I reckon all these fucking Coventry fans are going to fill it out and they'll be so much more excited to be there than the United fans. And it'll be massive, and I've just got a feeling that they might do it.
You never know. Saturday, I will be at Sheffield at the snooker for the first session of the World Championships. Managed to get a couple of tickets for the first one.
That's exciting.
The defending champion Luca Brasil is going to be playing. So, yeah, that's 10 a.m. Saturday morning, Sheffield.
I hope you have a nice time. I am in my supporting news. I got a dartboard for my birthday, and I'm about to put it up in the Vita modular this afternoon.
Oh, what about that?
Yeah.
Game changer.
And I got some darts with some West Ham flights.
Hey! Oh, we're going to be having matches against each other live on the YouTube for the IFS Turbo.
The Vita modular is... I don't think I'm going to have regulation distance. I don't. I think it's going to be close, but it's all right because I'll mainly be playing with Len and he'll be starting out. So I think for now it won't be too close. I'm going to do a measure up in a minute. So
I think it's 7'9", the regulation length.
Yeah, that might be about right. I might be able to just squeeze it in. I might have to perch on the edge of this podcasting desk and throw the dart from that.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
All right, then, that's it. Unless there's anything else you want to mention?
No, that's it.
Yeah, that's enough.
And in fact, that's that.
That is that.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.